This morning I am starting a brief four-week series on the topic of one of CBC's most important documents, our values statement. It's been several years since we have taken an in-depth look at these 13 items in our values statement, and there are a lot of folks who are new enough to the church that you may not even know that we have a values statement, and let alone what it contains or what it says. So we're going to dig in this morning and begin a little brief series on that. But what kinds of things does Community Bible Church value? What things are really important to us as a church? What do we stand for? What do we want to be known for? What really motivates us? What really excites us? What qualities or characteristics do we want to build this ministry on? What core values define us as a church? Values are important to every one of us. We all value certain things, and those values guide our lives. They shape what we do. They help us make the decisions that we make. As Christians, we of course want our values to be biblically based, biblically informed, and in tune with what is on the heart of God. We want to line up our lives with the things that God values most. So I did a little research for this sermon by looking on the internet, a lovely place for research, and trying to find out what kinds of things people value out there in society. And I came across some interesting ones, and I realized that those that I'm about to share with you are probably not the norm, but it is telling that anyone would actually have these values that I'm about to share with you. There was a man in Florida named John Whittle who stopped by his favorite bar one day and ordered a beer. But before finishing his drink, he decided to take care of some business that had been on his to-do list, and that was rob the local bank. So he put his beer down and calmly walked around the corner to the nearby Wells Fargo and proceeded to clean the place out. Now for the big getaway. You know, maybe head to Mexico and live under a false name on all that stolen loot that he had. Nope, not John. John remembered that he had left a half a beer sitting back there on the bar, at the bar. So he went back to finish it, hauling in his bags of cash with a dollar sign on them and stuff like that. And so John bellied up to the bar to finish his drink. Of course, 10 minutes later, he was in police custody. But that says a lot about what the man values. Never let a good beer go to waste, I guess. So he's got the next several years to ponder that. Priority for him. Then there was a guy from South Carolina named Christopher Hutto who needed some extra cash to buy some drugs. Could have mowed a few extra lawns or maybe do an extra shift at the factory or even pawn his TV, but no. He decided to fake his own kidnapping. So pretending to be the kidnapper, he called his own family and demanded a whopping $100 in ransom. Just good to know what his threshold there is, or a sense of personal worth. Anyway, he tried to con his own mother by sending her text messages from his own phone saying that her son, Christopher, had been kidnapped and was badly beaten and his body had been dumped in the woods, but he was still alive, and if she wanted her son back, then she'd have to give this $100 ransom and he would reveal the location. So, what would mom do in such a dilemma? Well, like any good and loving mom, she started negotiating. Yeah, so evidently $100 was a bit too steep for her to get her beloved son Christopher back, so she started to talk the kidnapper down. I'll give you 40. Ma, how about 80? 45? 70? 50? Come on now, I'll give you 60 and not a penny more. Okay. Well, you can't make this stuff up. It's amazing. Of course, when Christopher went to pick up the money, there were the police waiting for him and taking him away. But I think that says a lot about your values in life, don't you? That if somebody is willing to fake their own kidnapping for $100 to buy some drugs, and maybe it says just a little bit about dear old mom's values when she was willing to barter down the price to $60 for her own son. It's crazy. A lot of people out there in society live by some pretty mixed up values. Even in human terms, not counting the spiritual focus, the spiritual bent on things. But just on the human level, a lot of people's values fall somewhere between way wrong and way stupid. But that's how many people go through life. It just is. And yet for every single one of those people, just like you and me, Jesus died to save their soul. And you and I have the message of life that can bring them freedom, that can set them free, and can give them some truly significant and God-honoring things to live for, to have their lives based on, values to live by from the Scriptures. What do you value? What do you really care about personally? People can tell, of course. I mean, they can. They can tell by watching our lives, just like they can tell what a church values by watching us. They come and visit, and they can see what we value. What do you value? If a person could read your mind or could sense what was on your heart, the things that move you greatly, they obviously would get a very clear picture of what it is that you value in life. But even without that, not able to read your mind, not able to tell the pulse of your heart and what's going on there, even without all that, they can listen to the things you say, the things you talk about, the things you do, how you behave, how you act. They can look at how you spend your time, how you spend your money, what you do during your downtime, your free time. They can watch your life. If people are observant, they can pick up pretty easily on the things that we value, what's really important to us in life, the things that are really a priority to us. And the same is true for a church. If somebody walks in, if they're really observant, if they're really watching us, they can pick up on the things that are really important to us as a church body. People have always said when they visit Community Bible Church that we obviously value fellowship. We love warm, embracing, loving fellowship. We're a family. And I love that, and that's been a hallmark of our church down through the years. I hope that in recent months people would also notice that we value evangelism. Always have, but we've had a very significant special focus on evangelism here in the last few months with Nigel's seminar and some of the outreaches we've had at Victoria Park and so forth. We value evangelism. We do value those things. We value a lot of other things as well, and as a church we have come up with some core values that we seek to build this ministry on. What we choose to do or not do, what we emphasize or focus on as a church, says a lot about what we think church is supposed to be like. And that's worth examining. And it's worth realigning our church to if we need to from time to time. What are the central characteristics of our church? What are the things that really matter most to Community Bible Church? Our purpose statement as a church is this. You'll find this in our constitution. It says, our purpose is to worship and glorify God in obedience to His Word, to train believers for the work of the ministry, and to share Christ with all who will listen. So three things there: to worship God, to help believers grow, and to share Christ with others. Those are the three main purposes of the Christian life in general and the three main purposes of any Bible-believing church, because those are the three main spheres of relationships that we as Christians operate in: our relationship with God, our relationship with one another in the family of God, in the church, and our relationship with people outside the church, unbelievers. We worship God. We want to deepen our walk with Him. We want to help one another grow in the faith, and we want unbelievers to come to know Him. And that's all reflected there in our purpose statement. And then, too, we have a doctrinal statement, which you'll find also in our Constitution. It contains what we believe. What do we believe about who Jesus is, fully God and fully man? What do we believe about the nature of salvation, the Holy Spirit? What do we believe about what a church should be like? What do we believe about the end times? What do we believe about the nature of the Bible and its authority in our lives? And a few months ago, we went through that. We went through a series on Bible doctrine, kind of covering our doctrinal statement. But just in general, the Christian church, historically, what has the Christian church held about these major important doctrines? All of these documents, all these statements are the very foundation of our ministry and our life as a congregation. And so for the next month or so, I want us to look at the core values that shape what CBC is about as a church. As we go through these, we just confess up front, we don't do any of these perfectly by any stretch, but it's what we're passionate about, and it's what we want to be growing in and pursuing with all of our heart. And we desire to have these values be expressed and demonstrated in the people and the life and the ministries that comprise Community Bible Church. As I go through these core values, keep in mind that from these values, ministries emerge and not vice versa. We don't just start a ministry and then attach some value to it. We want values to form and shape what we do. So we have Christ as the very center, and we stand on the authority of His Word, and values are based on who Jesus is and what He's revealed to us in Scripture. So from those values, ministries emerge and develop that reflect that, that determine the shape and direction of those kinds of ministries. But biblical values are the core, the essence, the heart, and then ministries are the fruit. They're the outgrowth of those values. There are 13 of them on our value statement, and I don't have those printed up. I have them printed up for you. I'm just keeping them from you. I'm hiding them. Because I don't want you to read ahead, actually. I want you to think about, well, what are the values of CBC? If you don't have one of those statements, we gave them out years ago, but if you don't have a copy of that, I'd like you to think about, well, he's listed three here today. We're going to get to the first three on the list, but what are the other 10 that we value? And you probably can guess most of them. It's not a complicated thing. The complicated part at a leaders retreat with the elders and deacons some years ago was to decide what to not have on the list, how to narrow it down to 13, because there were like 50 originally. So, and we value those other things too, but they just, you know, unless you wanted to read really fine print, we'd had to narrow it down some. But there are 13 of them. I'll cover the first three today. They're not in any particular order of the 13, except that probably those at the very top of the list, like the ones I'll cover this morning, really need to be at the top of the list. The others you can kind of jumble around in a different order if you want. But these three, as you'll see why as I go through them, it makes perfect sense with that. Yeah, that ought to be on the top. But these first three really are essential. Number one is growth toward maturity in Christ. At the very core of who we are as a church, we want to help believers grow toward maturity in the faith, to become mature, thriving, godly men and women who will make a significant impact for the gospel in this generation. Now, for each value on the value statement that we put together, there's a subtitle that gives a bit more explanation, and there's a verse attached to it that gives biblical grounds or support for each of those values. So the subtitle of our first value says this: every believer should experience spiritual growth as a disciple of Christ. We want to be growing, progressing in the Christian life, becoming more like Christ as the days and weeks and years pass by, because we want to be able to look back over the past year, the past 5 years, the past decade, and celebrate the good things that God has done in our lives, in each of us, that we can look back and say, I thank God for the growth that He produced in my life as I walked with Him and as I studied His Word and prayed and fellowship with like-minded believers. I want to be growing and progressing in my faith, and I can see God doing that work in me. And we ought to be able to look back and thank God and praise Him and celebrate that work that He's doing. It's like being clay in the hands of the potter, moldable and shaped by Him. That's what He wants to do. He wants to take very rough rocks that have lots of rough edges, and He wants to chisel away all those rough edges and mold something beautiful, shape something beautiful in us as we become more and more like Christ. And that's the goal, is that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. We want to be like Jesus, Christ-like in character. And so that's what He's working toward. He's molding and shaping us toward that end, and we want to be growing toward maturity in the Christian life. The verse that we use to support that is Colossians 1:10, as Lyle read for us, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I remember when I first came to CBC 21 years ago, actually almost 22 now, we had a leadership retreat that first year that wasn't about developing our value statement. That came a couple years later. But it was just a retreat with the elders and deacons to just talk about what CBC was all about as a church. What kind of church did we envision Community Bible Church being? And I handed out a chart that listed several options. It's a very intriguing chart, one that I've passed out a lot to various people. It's really fascinating. But were we the kind of church where were we wanting to be the kind of church where the pastor maybe would use a handheld mic and walk around the stage, and though preaching a lot, really you sensed an appeal to emotions a lot. It was a very emotionally driven kind of church, and draw people in with a lot of emotion. And no, we that was not really us, not wanting to be that. Were we the kind of church that had a salvation message preached every Sunday and an altar call given every Sunday? And a lot of churches like that, but no, that really wasn't us as well. Appreciate that, but not really who we are. Were we the kind of church that would have lots of legalistic rules and standards that people would need to obey in order and conform to really be accepted with us as a church? No, didn't want to be that. Were we the kind of church that focused solely on social action and helping people in need? No, certainly, obviously that's a good thing to do. There's obviously a place for helping people who are struggling, who are poor, who are suffering, very much a Christ-like thing to do. Is there a place for preaching a message of salvation and calling for a response? Absolutely. Is there a place for emotions in church? Certainly. Of course, God wired us with lots of emotions. But our focus as a church is different. It includes those things, but we believe that it goes beyond those things. None of those types of churches made the list when I kind of polled the elders and deacons in that retreat. None of those churches made the list as to what we thought we might want to be. But there was one on that list that was a favorite, not unanimous, but it was a popular one among our elders and deacons at the time. And that was to be a word-centered church, a church centered on Scripture. They wanted to study it and know it well. The problem with that choice, as that chart went on to explain, is that the goal of that kind of church was knowledge, Bible knowledge. The goal was to have information, a lot of really great, really deep information about the Bible. But that choice was wrong, and I walked through that with them. Actually, it was partly right, which made it wrong, because the problem was it only took us halfway. Like those other things, we clearly want to have the Bible be central to what we're all about as a church. There's no doubt about that. Any true church must have the Bible as its foundation. But our goal can never be mere knowledge. Knowledge can never be the target that we're aiming for. And so there was one other church on that chart that we looked at, and that was a church where they were passionate about making thriving, growing disciples who were becoming more and more like Jesus. And the goal of that type of church was life change, transformation. Not just knowledge, not just emotion, but a changed life. Because the goal isn't to know, the goal is to be, to become who God has designed for each of us to be as His children. And the catalyst for that kind of change, of course, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is going to use the Word of God to shape us according to the Father's will. It's a life of dependence, a life of surrender to the Spirit and to the Word. That is the kind of church that we wanted CBC to be. And so absolutely central to what CBC is about as a church is the principle that every believer should become more and more Christ-like, being transformed day by day in their character, their thoughts, their attitudes and motivations, their speech, their actions. And so with that as our number one value, we at CBC are committed to avoiding two extremes of thought that are connected to this. First of all, we want to avoid the thought that getting saved is all you really need. Although your salvation on the basis of faith in Christ is what guarantees you eternal life, and obviously that's vital, that's vital, there's more to the Christian life than simply trusting in Jesus. You do not have His permission to then go live any way that you want to live, unchanged by the truth of the Word and the power of the Spirit. God wants you to get out of the starting blocks and into the race. He wants you to get going and get growing in Christ. So we don't just get to get saved and stay there as new babes in Christ, as infants in Christ. On the other side of the coin, we want to avoid the notion that we've spiritually arrived somehow. We will not reach perfection in this life, not even close. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we will. That happens when we get to heaven. But until God takes us home, we're to continue letting Him be Lord of our lives, making us and shaping us into the people that He wants us to be. The finish line is heaven, but until then, we run the race. So we have this as our first and primary core value, growth toward maturity in Christ. And so many other virtues and qualities either contribute to or stem from this first principle. I mean, think about this with me. You cannot grow toward maturity in Christ without being in the Word and spending time in concerted prayer. You can't do it. And prayer, of course, is one of the values of the 13. It's on down for a future week. But you just can't be growing spiritually if you're not in the Word and praying. You can't be growing in Christ and not have a genuine heart for the lost. And evangelism is one of those 13 on down on that list we'll look at in a couple of weeks. But that's part of that. If you're really a growing, thriving disciple, you're going to be concerned, burdened for the souls of men and women. And you can't be growing in maturity in Christ and not see God produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Things like love, joy, peace, and so on. All of that is wrapped up in growing toward maturity in Christ. And as a church, we want to do all that we can to encourage every believer to increase in the knowledge of God, to bear fruit, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We want each of us to grow toward maturity in Christ. The second value on our list is, of course, the Bible, God's Word. We value Bible-centered preaching and teaching. That's number two. The subtitle of the second value is, God's authoritative Word is the centerpiece of our equipping ministry to all ages. God's authoritative Word is the centerpiece of our equipping ministry to all ages. And our scripture passage for that is 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. I just finished a series on 2 Timothy just last week. And a couple weeks earlier, I dealt with this specific passage there in chapter 3. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time focusing on this one. But when all is said and done, we want to be known as a people who faithfully preached and taught and submitted to the Word of God. We do not need or want one another's opinions about this. We do not need or want what is the latest fad. We want to lean upon the Word of God. Our lives and our church must be built upon the foundation of God's holy Word. It is a non-negotiable. Are there methods and methodologies and strategies for ministry we can take advantage of and learn from? Sure. Are there programs, procedures that warrant our investigating to see if they might fit the situation for CBC and what we're trying to accomplish in ministry? Sure, of course. But they are a means to an end and not the end itself. In fact, both the means and the end must be found compatible to God's Word and never in violation of what God has already revealed in His Word for us to do. We submit to the Word of God. It is the full and final authority for life and practice. From the Word, we learn about God. From the Word, we learn about salvation. From the Word, we learn how to grow in Him. From the Word, we learn about how to glorify Him. From the Word, we learn about God's desire to save souls. From the Word, we learn about God's great mission around the world. From the Word, we learn about God's great plan for the ages. It's there in His Word. Thy Word is truth. What we teach our children is based on the Bible. What we teach adults is based on the Bible. What we study in small groups is based on the Bible. When we disciple one another, it's based on the Bible. When we develop a new ministry, it's based on the Bible. When we share the gospel, it's based on the Bible. When we love our neighbor, it's based on the Bible. In all that we do, we want the Word of God to be at the very center. The center. And then last for today, our number three value is unconditional love. Obviously, when you think about these three, they got to be near the top. They just have to. Love absolutely has to be what fills our souls for God, for one another, and for the lost, for a lost and dying world. And so our subtitle to this value is, we seek to follow Christ's priority of love for God, for one another, and for the world. And the verse that was read for us, John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. We've talked a lot about over the years about just what an amazing love God has for us. I mean, it's astonishing. It's unbelievable. And then we learn that He tells us to go and love other people as He has loved us. And we hear that and we don't know where to begin. It's an amazing challenge that He gives us to be so filled with His love that we would love others as He has loved us. But that's how that happens, is to be filled with His love, is to soak up God's love for you so that you are then freed to become a channel of His love for other people. I love how this virtue isn't just a nice sentiment. Oh, it's so nice to be loved. You know, how wonderful it is to be loved. No, God's love never settles for being a nice sentiment. God's love takes action. God's love touches lives. God's love moves heaven and earth to reach people. In fact, in the very next verse, Jesus goes on to say, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. See, love is the proof. Love is proof that we belong to Jesus. They'll know. They will know that we're his disciples by our love. What we do as a church really won't matter a whole lot if we don't have love. Love is the highest ethical principle of life and the deepest reflection of the character of God. And biblically, we are to express love in three realms, which I've already alluded to: love for God, love for one another in the body of Christ, and love for the world. Love for God. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God is to unquestionably the number one top priority of each of our lives. As a church, we are called to corporately love, honor, and glorify God as our highest priority. Love for one another. We value the bond of love that Christ has provided for all those who belong to him. It is truly a wonderful, remarkable thing to be a part of the family of God. It is. And third, love for the world. Though we are not of the world, we are called to be in the world, loving its people. We are to love them with the unconditional love of God as a demonstration of our faith and as a testimony of the presence and power of God in our lives. We love them as Christ loves them. As a church, we are to pursue these three areas of love and to express that love from a pure heart. And because that kind of love isn't man-made, you don't just kind of crank that out, you don't just work that up inside you, that means that we need to live in dependence upon him day by day so that he might fill us with his love, that we might love others as well. And so he calls us vessels, he calls us instruments and channels of his love. We're a useful tool in his hand for the expression of God's love. Love is the greatest commandment because love is the greatest. It just is. As we go through these values in the next few weeks, my hope and prayer is that God will write these great qualities on our heart and mold and shape our lives accordingly. And though we know full well that we're not where we need to be as individuals or as a church in any of these things, it is nonetheless unmistakably true that a church that helps people grow toward maturity in Christ and a church that has the Bible as its very foundation and a church that is built on love is a church body that God is going to use to change the world. One step at a time, one person at a time, but God is going to use such a people to change the world. To God be the glory. Pray with me. Father, as we come before you this morning, we are grateful that you have so clearly expressed the things that are on your heart and the things that you value as revealed to us in your word. And Father, as we get to know you as your children, as we spend time with you in prayer, we see so clearly what your heart is. How you love us, how you love other people. What you're calling us to as your children, how you call us to live and to walk with you. Father, we pray that as a church, we would rise up and live out the values that are on your heart. I thank you, Father, for godly leadership at our church who over the years have sought to understand your mind and seek the truth of your word, to know what you would call us to be as a church. And Lord, I pray that with this value statement, that this would not just be words on a page, but that with all of our heart, all of our passions, we would pursue becoming the church you're calling us to be. Father, I thank you that in this place, our heart's desire, our commitment, is to have the Lord Jesus be the very center, to have your word be the very foundation upon which we stand, and to have love be the motivating force with which we interact with you and one another in a world that aches to know you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.